Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Block Tales Unchained Stories. My name is Katarina. I'm working with Luna Vision, and today I have with me Nicole Novak. Nicole, I'm super happy that you are with us. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Katarina, and many thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I'm really excited about the discussion today. Like you said, my name is Nicole. I've been working for 7 years almost in the fields of data for different companies and different roles. So, for example, I was working for an IT consultancy for 2.5 years. And currently, I do trainings in the context of data. So I train my colleagues to get familiar with tools that help you to visualize data and make more use of it in your business life. And besides that, I do Bitcoin education. I'm a mentor at the Bitcoin Talents Program at the Frankfurt School of Finance, and with a small group of women, I organize Bitcoin events. The next one happens end of June. We do it under the name Les Femmes Orange. And end of June, like I said, we have our next event. It will be a whole weekend at the Bitcoin Hotel close to Stuttgart. It's called Hotel Princess, and they have many options to get involved in the Bitcoin topic. You can pay with Bitcoin there, but it's also a kind of a platform, and it hosts many Bitcoin events and Les Femmes Orange as well. Besides that, I'm also a partner of the newly founded TerraHash Space platform. It's a Bitcoin platform that is doing mainly three things. First of all, Bitcoin education, but it also covers the topic of energy. If you're, for example, a mid-sized company, you want to know how to put Bitcoin on your balance sheet, for example, or even want to be involved in the Bitcoin mining topic, if you have a solar system on your building, for example, then it might be interesting for you to think of Bitcoin mining, and all these topics and Bitcoin events are also covered by TerraHash Space, and I'm a partner there. And it was really funny, actually. Last weekend, we went to the trade fair, the Invest in Stuttgart, and we did Bitcoin education. So we had a booth there, and people could come to us and ask us questions related to Bitcoin mining or Bitcoin in general. And that's basically it.
I heard a lot of Bitcoin in there, and we will definitely get to this. But first, I would love to hear from you, because we try to ask this everyone. Mm-hmm. How would you explain your Web3, crypto, Bitcoin, everyday life to your grandma?
Yeah, I actually like this question a lot, because this question forces you to really think of the essence of what you actually do. Yes. So I would explain it as follows. I do Bitcoin education, and I teach other people how Bitcoin works and how it can be used in everyday life. And obviously, this leads to the question, what is Bitcoin? And I would tell my grandma, Bitcoin is a form of money, or digital gold that exists only on the internet. And it works entirely without banks or nation states. It's scarce. There will be never more than 21 million Bitcoin. And every person who has a cell phone and access to the internet can use Bitcoin all over the world. And how do I do education? I do it together with other people, for example, with Les Femmes Orange, or with TerraHash Space.
I think with this explanation, you might have frightened your grandma then, because it's money, it's only in the internet. Yeah, it's only in the internet. There's no banks. Where should I create my bank account? That's probably questions our grandmas ask themselves then. But I think, or I guess, that you also have not been in there from the beginning, right? Like you did not say, okay, I'm getting an adult now, and now I'm a Bitcoiner. So I did some research, and I saw that you are a mathematician, actually. And I think this is awesome, because I tried this once, and let's say I'm an engineer now.
Okay.
So how did you get there, and how did you manage to actually finish your studies in mathematics? That's something I really adore.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting question. But before I go there, I would like to say something to the point you mentioned, that I would scare my grandma, because my grandfather, my father's side, he's living in Poland, and he doesn't have a bank account. So he always refused to have a bank account. And the whole family always...
Really? That's possible?
Yes. That's possible in Poland, actually, still. The government wanted to get rid of that option, but people were demonstrating. So there's still the option not to have a bank account. And every month, my grandpa is taking his bicycle and going to, I don't know, an office, and takes his, a rent? And drives home with his bicycle. And as I said, our family made fun of him because he refused to have a bank account. But actually, now I understand, he's not trusting the government. And this really fits the Bitcoin story pretty well. But yeah, maybe my grandma, indeed, she would be a bit scared. Yeah, you're right.
So would you describe your grandpa as, the first generation of Bitcoin like-minded people without having Bitcoin?
Yeah, so to say, yes. He's not, he has the experience of communism, right? He grew up in a communist society, and he doesn't trust the government. Probably that's really fitting the story, yeah. But coming back to your actual story about mathematics, I had troubles to find a suitable field of studies when I finished school. I wanted to basically study everything, and this is not possible, obviously. And then I just chose mathematics because I was good at it, and I thought, okay, not every woman is doing that, so maybe I do something unusual. And I started my studies in Freiburg, actually, pure mathematics. And I thought, okay, or I experienced, I'm different than most of my fellow students, and it didn't feel right. So I switched and went to Mannheim and studied business mathematics. And how did I go through? Yeah, actually, it was a tough field of study. I had courses where I just didn't see any number, but only Greek letters. And it really killed me. So it was a challenge, but I made it. I wanted to finish it. I did my bachelor's, my master's. I went abroad, and I didn't have math courses only, but also economics courses and a bit of computer science. So the variety was great. But it was a bigger challenge than school, to be honest.
Yeah, I did the same when I was 17, and I had finished school, and I was like, okay, I was good at math, so I'm going to study this. And I started studying pure mathematics. Yeah. And then it happened what you just said. Okay, I saw no numbers. It's all just letters. And there was no use case for it, right? It's just been like, okay, we're doing this for the sake of doing this. And I think, that just didn't fit my thought and what I wanted to do. Yeah. So then I switched and became an industrial engineer, where I actually also used mathematics, obviously, but I used it, and I just did not do it for the sake of doing it. Yeah. And I also had business parts as for the industrial part of the study. So that's my story with mathematics. And then I saw that you did it and you finished it, and I was like, wow, she's really into this.
I totally feel you. Nobody tells you at school that maths or mathematics is very different at university.
Yes, no, instead your teachers actually tell you, oh, go for it, that's great. Mm. You'll be so happy there. That's so much fun. And in the end, you think like, no, you should have told me it's totally different than what I learned here in school. I agree.
Definitely.
But yeah. I mean, in the end, it has some advantages, I guess, because for you, it should be pretty easy to understand the mathematics and also the... hashing and all the mathematics parts of blockchain technology, right?
And yeah, I think it helps, yes. And I did my major in game theory, so this really helps as well in the Bitcoin context. So yeah, I made my peace with my decision to study mathematics. I'm happy now.
So how did you get from there to, I checked your LinkedIn profile and you name yourself as a working Bitcoiner, which I honestly have to ask, what is a working Bitcoiner and how did you get there from being a math student?
Yeah, what is a working Bitcoiner? So I think a working Bitcoiner, at least from my point of view, is someone who is active in the space and wants to maybe increase also the adoption in the sense that a working Bitcoiner educates others, helps others to get onboarded. And how did I get there? It just happened, to be honest. So 2 years ago, my little brother, he was 16 years old back then, he just sent me a message on Instagram. And this message contained a picture with a dog, and it was actually the icon of the Dogecoin.
Oh no.
And that was the beginning, to be honest. Yeah, I have to admit. And that time, Elon Musk was shilling Dogecoin a lot. And my brother told, he couldn't invest in it because he was 16 years old. So he asked me, could you please invest? And I didn't want to be the boring sister who doesn't do new stuff and cool stuff. And then I did some research and ended up at a crypto exchange in Austria, and then I purchased a bit of Dogecoin, and I realized, wow, the Bitcoin price is about, I think it was 50,000 euros back then. It was really the hype, last hype, and I thought, what did I miss? How could I have not noticed that actually a Bitcoin is 50,000 euros? And that really... I was speechless, and I saw, okay, there are many other cryptocurrencies, and then everything started. For 2 weeks, I watched YouTube videos, maybe Discord channels, etc., and I was looking at all these projects like Tron and IOTA and stuff like that. And 2 weeks later, a colleague of mine, he mentioned that he's into crypto Bitcoin since 2017, and he recommended to read the Bitcoin Standard, and he recommended also to watch the YouTube channel Blocktrainer, and I did both, and I can just remember how I was sitting on my bed 2 a.m. in the morning reading the Bitcoin Standard and had this Eureka moment, because when I studied in Mannheim, I also took economics classes, also macroeconomics, and 10 years ago, roundabout, I was already thinking we create money first, and then we become productive. So this is against the laws of physics, right? But back then I couldn't name it like that. So I thought it's just weird, this helicopter drop printing money. And then I wanted to discuss this with my fellow students, and nobody was wondering why it is like that. And I thought, okay, it's me. I'm too stupid to understand how a good monetary system works. And I just didn't want to deal with the topic anymore. Like, I didn't take finance courses. I focused more on game theory. Yeah, and other other topics. Yeah, because I thought, okay, that's just not my thing. Yeah, and then reading the Bitcoin Standard a decade later, I thought, okay, it was not that stupid. So people actually talk about that. It's our monetary system that is not working that well, actually. So yeah, this was the start. And then I read many books, I watched a lot of YouTube videos, I started to do the programs from the Frankfurt School of Finance, DLT Talents, DeFi Talents, and now I'm a mentor at Bitcoin Talents, and I just wanted to inhale everything I could learn about the topic. And last year, I went to the first conference, I went to the BTC 22 in Innsbruck. It was the largest German-speaking conference, and there I met many people, interesting people. I met Rachel Geyer there, for example, or Nico Jilch, who is having an own podcast. It's called What Bitcoin Did in German, so Was Bitcoin Bringt. And they really engaged me in connecting with others. And then Rachel Geyer had this idea of Les Femmes Oranges. She wanted to have a more women-friendly event because in the crypto world as well, but in the Bitcoin space specifically, there are way too less or not enough women. Just, I think 6% of all German Bitcoin holders are women. So that's a catastrophe if you ask me. So what about financial inclusion? What about the gender investment gap, I would call it? And yeah, we need to change this. So my interest in the topic compared with the need to educate others, not only women, but all people around the world, this is driving me and just led to one step and the next step, going to conferences, meeting people, exchanging ideas, getting involved into project, getting involved in the next project. Yeah, that's a journey. Yeah.
I think we can definitely recommend the Bitcoin Standard for everyone out here. Currently reading it, and it's definitely worth it for everyone out there.
Super cool, because I noticed sometimes when talking to Web3 people or people really involved in the Ethereum space, then if you ask really essential questions related to money, sometimes there are no answers. So having an idea why this happened, so why Bitcoin was created, which is the basic also for other projects that evolved afterwards, is super essential. Yeah, so definitely a recommendation to read the Bitcoin Standard.
Yes, and I also see lots of initiatives who are created to get more women into the space or to open up more for women also. But I mean, one essential question that we should maybe discuss here now is, like, we talked about Bitcoin and educating about Bitcoin and that you are involved there and that you got interested in it. But I mean, the interesting and underlying question here is, why do you believe in Bitcoin, right?
Why do I believe in Bitcoin? This sounds like a religious question, right?
Maybe it sounds like this, but you really promote it and you seem to be super believing in it. I mean, you created Les Femmes Oranges for it. You back then started watching the Block Trainer channel, and now, as I'm informed, right, you created initiatives and events together with his wife. So you have quite some history in this space and some stories to tell and a journey that you went through. Yeah. So why all this? Why did you try to get there? Why do you want to educate people about it? Why do you believe in it?
Yeah. So, when I got into the topic of Bitcoin, I suddenly understood that the world is a bit different than I originally thought. So, the way money is created is, like I said, a contradiction to the laws of physics. And realizing that and seeing all the problems also with inflation we have at the moment. Now we see banks, crashing, like the Silicon Valley Bank or the Credit Suisse. We see there's something wrong with our financial system. And I personally found many answers when I did research about Bitcoin. And first of all, Bitcoin solves a problem to just send value in the digital world. And why is this fascinating? So many years, people thought you can never send something like value in the internet, because if you think of a picture, that I sent you on the internet. It's a perfect copy, right? And it's hard to invent something where you cannot just create a perfect picture. So I cannot just copy your Bitcoin in case you're owning one. And yeah, this is really brilliant. So people, smart people, the cypherpunks created a network, a protocol to send value from one person to another without the need of banks, without the need of a third entity, and without the possibility of copying it. It's called the double spending problem. So yeah, this is insured. And it's really fascinating from a technical perspective, but it's also fascinating from many other perspectives. For example, from a socioeconomic perspective, there are people on this planet that don't have access to the banking systems, that don't have access to the US dollar. And to have access to Bitcoin, you only need internet and a phone, a smartphone. Not even a smartphone, but I think, right? Yeah, right. You can also do it offline.
This is where some old Nokia phones are used to send Bitcoin. Yeah.
It's complicated, but it would be possible. And this is amazing in terms of financial inclusion, empowerment, like Iranian women who might be oppressed by husbands or the family. They could have access to money and take care from themselves to a certain degree. Think of women rights, but also if you look at the African continent, where you have many people without a bank account because they are not allowed to, not reliable enough for the banking system there. And Bitcoiners like Anita Posh do education there, so to empower people to get rid of the system where they're not involved or included. And this is super fascinating, not only the technical perspective, which is already really brilliant, but also from a socioeconomic point of view. And you can think of many implications, but
I do agree with you. I just wanted you to explain why you are into Bitcoin. And I think it offers a lot of possibilities, but I think it also, again, scares a lot of people due to the reason that you just stated. It might be a solution to get rid of a system where these people are not included. And I mean, systems don't like if you get rid of systems.
True. Did you experience experience people being scared? Like people telling you, I'm so scared of Bitcoin. Did this happen?
I think it's more on a underlying psychological level. Like they, first of all, most don't understand it in the beginning. And even though you explain to them on a top tier level, then they ask, but what is this? I don't know, encryption, for example. And if you then go on and tell them, this is a hash value and you can't just change the data below because if you hash it, then this is being obvious. And then they are like, okay, but how can this be obvious? And what actually helped was when I was back then still in university, I created a lecture series for students. And I created also like practices, and I let them manually calculate a hash value for a short data set. Obviously not all the 80 rounds, but just a short part of it, just to show, okay, this is the amount of effort you have to put in there to, first of all, create the hash value. And if you now want to manipulate the data, then you would have to, like, if it should be successful, you actually have to find a collision. And now reverse all this, try creating a collision. Yeah. And I mean, that's why we have collision-free hash value so far, hash functions. Let's hope it stays like this.
Yeah, quantum computing and
but
stuff.
That's when they realize, okay, there's actually a lot behind this. It's not just this top level of, okay, we can change stuff with it. But until then, you have to open their minds. You have to find people who are willing to get there. And in the first situation, I think they are quite scared. I mean, many mm-hmm. people are quite scared, and they can't even tell you that they are scared. It's just something they don't know. They have never heard about it. It's technology they don't understand. And you tell them, okay, you can just make your system that you live in and that you know become obsolete. And I think this is a very scary thought for a lot of people, because that's what they know. That's where their life is built on. So if this becomes obsolete, what will their life be in the future? You know, I think that's why people are actually scared about it.
Yeah, that's actually a good answer to the question, why do people don't look at Bitcoin? I just saw this question in a WhatsApp thread today. And maybe that's a really good answer to that question. Yeah, you have to open your mind, I agree. And you have to be ready to see the world, the financial world, at least, a bit different than before. And this, yeah, can be scary, I agree. But I think Bitcoin encourages you to be brave and to empower yourself. So it does not
yes,
need to
but
be
it
the
also
end.
It also requires a certain understanding of the current financial system.
Definitely.
And if we now take a look at, and it's not only Bitcoin, also other like stable coins or other cryptocurrencies in this matter. But if you now take a look at what kids actually learn in school and what we learned in school a couple of years ago, prove me wrong, but I did not learn anything about how money actually works. I learned about, okay, how is the infrastructure of the government, and what are banks there for?
Yeah.
But I did not learn how do they do it. I did not actually learn, okay, I learned the definition of inflation, but I did not actually learn how does it come to inflation? Who's
yeah.
creating inflation? How does this whole process and all the mechanics behind this work? I did not know, okay, what actually defines money? I never in my 12 years of going to school
yeah.
had a lesson where the question was raised, what actually is money? Okay, money is this paper that you get. I can get my purse and I can show you this is money. But what defines this to be money? It's just not taught.
Yes.
And I think if you don't understand this, how should you understand
yeah,
Bitcoin
definitely.
Or any other thing that's related?
And it's even worse because I studied economics as well at the University of Mannheim, and I did not learn what money is. So the very essence of money, the features of good money definition, never learned. So this is even worse. Yeah, I totally agree with you. So that's why education is key. And yeah, it's great that we talk about it. And I hope that, yeah, many people are brave enough and eager enough to educate themselves and maybe read the Bitcoin Standard, like you suggested.
Yeah, that would be great. Coming back to your story, you already said before, so you want to get more women into the space, and you have been studying math, which is pretty male dominated, I think. And then you entered
yes.
the Bitcoin world, which is also super male dominated. So what would be your, I don't know, your future vision, or what would you wish for the future for women who are interested in this? And do you think that we actually make the space better if we get 50-50 ratios, or do you think it's more about opportunities? So did you see it as a problem that you were women amongst many men?
Yeah, so I personally see it as a problem that there are not that many women invested and interested in Bitcoin or financial topics as well. Yes, because of equality reasons. Like I said, we're talking about the gender pay gap, but nobody talks about the gender investment gap, and it's even worse. So for fighting inflation or to be better than inflation, to save your money, you need to be a private investor these days, and you need to have a certain knowledge of financial topics, investing, and also Bitcoin, obviously, from my point of view. So from this point of view, education is needed, but it's not only this. I think, imagine a world where the Bitcoin space and also crypto space have a parity, like 50% women and 50% men, then obviously it would be pretty different. And I think there would be way, way more ideas coming to the space, maybe also more creative topics, arts, the way how to communicate. I don't want to draw a picture of stereotypes. We know that in special cases, it's not the case, but the way women communicate is general, not in any case or in every case, different. It's more emotional, but it's also more appreciation is a thing, I would say. I also do a coaching for the education, and I do it together with many women. So here I see that communication is really different when I compare it to my job, my data jobs, for example. And this has a lot of opportunities. I think one of our attendees at our Les Femmes Oranges event in January, she said it like this. What I learned at Les Femmes Oranges is that women don't use the same entrance to get into the space. They take different entrances. But for sure, they will not only enter different entrances, but they will also create different paths. And therefore shape the space. And that's the second aspect why it would be really valuable to have more women in the space, to have their creativity, communication, and so on, without going into this gender stereotypes topic. But I think we are different, and that's okay. And we have different strengths, and every strength is useful for the space and for adoption.
At that point, I'm with you. I disagree a bit about the 50-50 ratio, though.
All right.
I think it's important, or it will be cool for the space if we have more women, because, as you said, it will be just more diverse and it will be more ideas. On the other hand, I think it's more important to have equality of opportunity than of outcome. So if we have different ratios in the end in the space, that might actually be because there are different interests in stuff. What I think is most important in this point is to create an equality of opportunities so that there's no gap in how can I get educated, how can I enter the space, so that everyone has the same opportunity to get education, to get knowledge, to get also the tools. Like, I mean, you actually need some point where you can enter the internet to enter Bitcoin or crypto at all. Also that you have the same opportunity to, if you want to work in the space, to get a job in the space and to become part of the space. This is super, super, super important, I think, this equality of opportunity. I think if this is given, and I think it's not yet, but if we were in a situation where there's the total equality of opportunity, and in the end, there's an inequality of outcomes, so we have a different ratio, let's say 60-40, then this would be okay for me, because this means everyone had the opportunity, everyone could have taken it, and if then people are less interested in it, then that's their choice, and we should also like just accept people's choices.
Yes, fair point. I mean, we cannot force anybody. If there's someone saying that I don't care, I just don't want to get involved in this, fair. But I believe if we manage to really communicate all the valuable aspects of, for example, Bitcoin, and communicate the socioeconomic perspective better, then, and we have more idols, like more women in the space, then it will attract more women automatically. I don't want to stop doing education which is women friendly in terms of Bitcoin.
Oh no, that was not what I was saying. Like I said, I would love for us to have a situation where everyone can get the same education, and that's also fine. I mean, for me, it's totally. I love it that you start initiatives and that you try to get more women in there, because it will give us some more different ideas in the space.
Yeah, fair point.
I just said that in the end, if people are not interested, we cannot force them.
Sure.
That's all. But I would also love to maybe visit you at one of your La Femme Orange events in the future, because I'm really interested in what you're doing, and I'm really, I like I said, I love your initiatives. That's not what I wanted to say.
Okay, I will send you the link afterwards. The ticket sales start soon before Easter break.
Yeah, we should do this.
Yeah.
Because I definitely agree with you that education is key. It's super important because, as we just defined, people don't learn about it in school. They don't learn about it in university.
University,
so,
yeah,
it's absolutely important, and it's an integral part of what we should do. And that's why also, like, for example, with Lunar Vision, I try to put educational content out there too, just because as we create more and more touch points, each single piece of content that is in a certain way educational is a new touch point for people to start thinking about how does money work, how do the systems around us work, and what potential lies in the technology that we are having at hand with the blockchain right now.
Yeah,
and I think there's a lot of potential for the future.
So. Yeah, and your podcast is helping as well, right?
I hope so. Yes. Amazing. Okay. I think I just took a look at the time, and I think we should start wrapping it up. But I now know that you are very much into Bitcoin, but I still would like to ask you if there's something, a topic that you are still interested and that you would actually like to know more about. I don't know, maybe second layers or ordinals or whatever, or not Bitcoin related, also fine, but you didn't know more about yet and you didn't investigate, and why.
Yeah, I would love to understand much more about the technical details of Bitcoin and Lightning. So for those of you who don't know, Lightning, it's a second layer solution on top of Bitcoin, and it actually scales Bitcoin and enables fast payment at almost zero cost. And I already bought two great books from Andreas Antonopoulos, Mastering Bitcoin and Mastering Lightning. But I haven't gone through them yet because, it's much easier in my everyday life to listen to podcasts, watch videos in the train, etc. But to get into the technical details, you really have to take your time, sit in front of the laptop, do some programming in best case. And I haven't made that a priority yet, but hopefully will in the future.
I'm looking forward to seeing some kind of content, maybe posts or something else, where you discuss if these books are a good help to get started with this topic.
I started with the Mastering Bitcoin, and I really liked it, especially the first page where Andreas Antonopoulos mentioned that when he got into Bitcoin, he did nothing else for 4 months. And he even lost weight because he didn't even get proper nutrition because he was so into Bitcoin and wanted to learn more. And back then I thought, I'm crazy. How can I spend so much time with learning about something? And then I read this, I think it's called preface or something. I read this introduction from Andreas Antonopoulos, and I thought, okay, I'm not crazy. I just discovered something really great. So yeah, I can recommend it. I started already.
We'll check in with you if we don't see you for too long.
Yes, for 4 months.
Are eating properly and if you also look sometimes up from the book.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
So this is Andreas Antonopoulos' Blocktail. Do you have one for us too? Once upon a time, 30 seconds.
Yes, I thought about it. So let's do it like that. Once upon a time on planet Earth, governments had the ability to create as much money as they wanted, and that caused a lot of problems in the financial world, but also in people's lives. We saw that back in 2008 during the financial crisis. But fortunately, a group of smart people called the cypherpunks have been working on a new sound money that can't just be created just like that, not even by Elon Musk. And one day, a mysterious being called Satoshi Nakamoto completed the project and released a new monetary system called Bitcoin in 2009. Since then, Bitcoin has served many people around the world as a reliable alternative to the traditional banking system. Some people even consider Bitcoin as a safe haven asset that can protect everyone's savings from more bank failures like Credit Suisse in the near future. We'll see what happens.
Perfect last words, Nicole. Thank you so much for being with me and seeing you hopefully soon.
Thank you, Katharina. Thank you for inviting me. And yeah, thank you for, yeah, for spending the time for the conversation. I liked it a lot. Love.